Welcome, foolish readers, to a spooky edition of Shit We've Read.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Shit We've Read, a fantasy and sci-fi podcast hosted by some geeky friends. I am the host today, Bella Romero, and I am joined by those geeky friends today. First up is Captain Rico. Ahoy, matey.
Ahoy. Hi, first mate Bells. This is going to make no sense to people listening because you can't see. I'm wearing a pirate hat. It's, you know, it's October, the season of costumes. We're reading a book about, you know, some people on boats. I figured it was appropriate. But anyhow, how's it going?
Like there's a season for costumes for you. Get out of here. Every day is a costume. Absolutely. Every day you dress up like a regular human with a soul and show up. Wow.
And one of these days I'll perfect that costume, you know?
And one day you'll get it right. That's for sure. You also never age, so I'm convinced it's all
just mask. I appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, same goes for my other co-host, Laura. Both, I swear, sit from the fountain of eternal youth. Laura, how are you? It's speaking of eternal youth, it is Laura's birthday week while we're recording. Her birthday month, if you will, for those who celebrate. Laura, how are you?
I'm doing really well, thank you. Excited to be meeting with you both already for another discussion.
I know. I feel like we're back to back this month, the last few weeks. So yeah. Weary reader Rico over there. Well, so speaking of, we read, what did we read this time, guys? We read volume one, which is issues 1-6 of the graphic novel comic book series Earth Divers by Stephen Graham Jones. Written by Stephen Graham Jones, since it's a graphic novel. We also have the artist, who is Davide Gianfelice, Italian artist. I always say my Italian with a Spanish accent, so they are Italian, just to confirm.
Same.
I did like a full year of Italian, and I still can't do a full Italian accent. It's fine. So yeah, we read this graphic novel, all of us, but it was all in honor of, you know, Indigenous Peoples Day, which is coming up soon at this time. By the time this releases, it will have already happened. Never forget. And yeah, I don't know. What else have you guys been reading, though?
I mentioned it's spooky season, and so of course I got to read the spooky books. I just finished another comic book called Somna by Becky Cloonan and Tula Lote, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous comic book series. It's set amidst the terrifying backdrop of the witch hunts in the 1960s. And it's a comic book that blends history, eroticism, and the supernatural. And it follows one woman's descent into an erotic escape from the confines of a puritanical world. It's seriously like, it could almost be an After Dark graphic novel. There's definitely some sex with a perhaps nightmare creature or demon or devil.
Okay.
Really,
it was like
the
second result when I searched it. So you're still on brand, Rico. Monster smut. Continue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, friend read monsters, you know, make it smutty. Why not? But it's a gorgeous comic book. Both creators, Becky and Tula, both contribute art to it. One artist mostly is kind of like in the real world. One artist is like the dream sequences.
Oh, that's cool.
As the story kind of progresses, that line gets blurred more. So it's really cool visually. It's it was just really simple read, quick. I think it was like a 3-issue comic book. Yeah, so really quick, but really nice. And if you like beautiful comic books, this is one that you should definitely check out.
No, I really like ugly comic books, actually.
Oh, well, I got some of those too, if you want recommendations later.
I really like when it looks like it was drawn by like a third grader, you know?
Oh, then I have a comic book I wrote when I was in third grade that's perfect for you.
Oh, nice.
Amazing, right up my alley.
We can maybe do an episode on it.
Laura, what have you been reading?
I've been slowly making my way through Valley by Stacey McEwen. I know I have mentioned it a few times now. Again, thank you to Angry Robot for sending us not only an ARC, but also a hardcover. I love Stacey. I love these books, so I was very happy to get copies. It's the third and final book in the Glacian trilogy. It's the conclusion to Dawson Sabar's epic romanticy quest to free her people from the ledge. I'm not generally too romanticy-ish. Y'all know I like my sci-fi. But I do really love the characters and the story that Stacy wrote for this series. So I am dreading making it to the end of the book. But I'm still
That's how you know it's good, though, when you're like, I don't want it to be over.
Yeah, yeah.
That's but I'm sign of a good series.
I'm still loving it. I know I'm probably going to feel a little heartbroken when I get to the end. But
the good book withdrawal will be hard.
Yeah. But on the flip side, I'm also working my way through an audiobook for The Brightness Between Us by Elliot Schrafer. The first book, The Darkness Outside Us, is one of my favorites. So good. I don't want to say too much about it because it could potentially give away some stuff. But the second book is really interesting because it kind of continues the first book, but also gives us a prequel because there's two different timelines. So the first timeline is the continuation. So it takes place 17 years after, after the first book ends, when their ship crashes on a distant exoplanet. It's full of danger. It's testing the family bonds, you know, kind of learning a little bit more about them. And then the second timeline is actually taking place 30,000 years in the past. And so I haven't gotten to this part. The synopsis basically says that with these two timelines, they're going to kind of intertwine and kind of learn about some connections and see if they could save humanity.
That is quite a prequel.
It's kind of a lot. Honestly, I did not read the synopsis. I was like, second book, done. I'm reading it. And then as it was available, which actually just came out on October 1st, I forgot to pre-order it, so I didn't have the physical copy, but the audiobook was available through the library, so I immediately checked that out.
Nice.
So I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I am liking it a lot so far. So
nice. I like that. I don't really know what that book is about, but it sounds like you're enjoying it. So
it's like I said, I can't. It's I know hard,
you can't tell it.
It's hard to get into the details because it's going to spoil the first book. So if anybody's going to read the first book, I don't want to get into too much of it. Which I feel weird because a lot of the books that I share during these segments are continuations or books 2, 3 or whatever. And I always feel bad about sharing information because I'm like, this is going to spoil it if anybody's going to read the first book.
No, my favorite thing that I have such trauma about that. And by I use that term very loosely. I'm using it in a Gen Z way that when I was in like ninth grade, we did a book like a free choice book report. I think it just had to be like fantasy and like some kind of like hero's journey epic or something. So that was in 2009, 2010. So the seventh Harry Potter book had already been out for a few years, but the movie hadn't come out. And that is important because I chose to do my report on the seventh book. And like so many people got mad at me and I was like, this book has been out for three years at that point, like multiple years. The movie is gonna come, and I just was like, I don't really care. Like, these are the easiest books to read and the most popular book series. Like, this has all been spoiled on the internet already, people. Like, cry me a river. But ever since then, I'm very hesitant to talk about series because of that.
Because of all the shit you got.
For Harry fucking Potter. I still remember. My teacher was like, you're fine. I was like, thank you.
You're still fired up about this.
I'm still mad.
You're still mad.
I'm still mad. Because it's like it was yesterday. Core memory, guys. Maybe I do mean capital T trauma, not in a Gen Z way.
It's very possible.
It's very possible.
What are you reading?
So I'm on the second book of a series, so I also cannot share too much about like what this new book is about, but I'm only like, I think 15% of the way in. But I'm on the second book of Aidan Thomas's like Sunbearer Trials duology.
Oh yeah. Nice.
So that was really fun. I think Rico, you'd read Cemetery Boys. I couldn't remember if you'd read Sunbearer Trials, but I remember we had talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's basically the Hunger Games with an Aztec twist. And like this sort of like maybe dystopian, yeah, you know, world. And as it suggests, like Sunbearer Trials, there's like all these teens from semidioses, which is Spanish for demigods, are competing to win the competition to sacrifice the loser of the competition in order to fuel the sunstone, which is this literal stone that carries the essence of the sun, and everyone has a sunstone, and it protects their civilization from the obsidian gods, which are like the quote unquote like evil gods of their civilization, and also like celestial beings who are all trapped up in the sky with the power of the sun. And so like they kind of like, there's like, you know, a lot of superstition and a lot of lore around all of this, but you're following this young semidios who is like, there's like a tier system of dioses. So you have the golden dioses who are like the tippity top, like think like Zeus, like the big 12 of the Greek pantheon. And then you have like the jade dioses, who you would call like the minor gods of like the Greek pantheon. And then you have the obsidians, who I mentioned, who are like the evil gods, like chupacabra, chaos, which is chaos. We all know chupacabra, goats eating goats. Bah, 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 bah. And then also.
Bah, 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 bah. That's a clip right there. Bah, 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 bah.
Need me to do it again? No, she's kidding. And then now I'm forgetting the main big bad. Oh, Venganza, which is revenge. Incredible. Just feeds my little Spanish-speaking Mexican soul. Wonderful to read. It's a queer, transnormative society. So you have lots of main character is a trans man. There's non-binary characters. There are queer characters, lots of queer romances. Very cute. Very like YA romance, slow burn. It was just so much fun. Like I had so much fun with it. I was like, I would like this to be an animated series. Like I could totally see it. I was already like kind of picturing it in my head. Just really great. I have so much fun. I'm on the second one, which follows like the aftermath of the first book. I cannot say anything about it because it will give it away. but you still follow the main character, Theo, who I just love how they wrote him. So good. It's great. I really cannot recommend it enough for folks. I also read, per one of our guest hosts or co-hosts for After Dark, Emma Skies, after our lovely foray into Omegaverse with whatever that book was called. I've already deleted it from my mind. I read Bride, which I think I mentioned on one of our episodes. And then I mentioned it to her and she was like, you should read Fake Mate. And I can't remember if that ended up in our episode or if we talked about it like post-recording. But she was like, you should read Fake Mate. It's like the next step up. It's by Lana Ferguson. It's very, it's like Omegaverse rom-com edition.
So it's like you're slowly making your way up into
yeah, but here's the thing.
Omegaverse.
I learned this is my line. I was like, this is as far as I'd like to go. just because like, I was like, I'm not into the whole toxic masculinity, like submission, dom, but like make it wolfy thing. And nodding was not for me. I was like, that's kind of, it's not as weird as I thought. Obviously, like now having read it a few times, I think I'm kind of used to it. But I was like, this isn't for me. I had fun. The characters were fun. It was very like Allie Hazelwood coded because it is a Raylo fan fiction gone mainstream. So very similar vibes. Just, you know, like lots of, like there's a heat. And I was like, that's my least favorite thing. What else? What else was like? Lots of nodding. Lots of nodding.
I mean,
the whole hormones and scent, and I can smell you. I'm like, it's a little, it got a little too much for me. Bride was fine. That was I'd rather stay there in the Omegaverse world. Okay.
I mean, it's good to venture out of your comfort zone because then you know where your comfort zone is.
Exactly. I was like, you know what, Emma, you talk about these books, you say they're fun. I'm just going to read them, see what happens. And if I hate them, I slander you on the podcast. It's all fun. It's all fun and games. Commit to the bit. So anyways, back to our scheduled programming, Earth Divers Volume 1. So this is a sci-fi, fantasy, horror, historical fiction. So it has something for everybody. Murder, chaos, science, history. Yeah, it's like such an amalgamation of genres. It's really cool. It was published in 2022 to 2023, the six issues. I will warn, though, because it is about history and the volume is entitled Kill Columbus. So this does include mentions of murder of indigenous folks, mentions of child rape. All of these things happen in real life. I don't think it should come as a surprise, but in case you, you know, got your American history in America, that's what happens. And then visual content warning, because this is a graphic novel. You are going to see a lot of gore, bluts.
You said bluts. Gore, yeah.
And blood and guts. I did not mean to say guts. I was trying to delete that from my brain because I was like, gore and guts are similar. There's also some suggestive nudity. You have to be nude to time travel. I'm sure Rico loved that. I'm just kidding.
After dark.
I just wanted to see his reaction.
Great. You paint me out to be some sort of deviant.
Okay. Does any non-deviant have two good reasons?
Thanks, guys. None of you came to my defense there. I appreciate it.
So because Rico has a special captain, my captain, will you please read the synopsis? I had a feeling you knew that was coming since you made me host. He's drinking water.
He's pointing to his water bottle. He's saying, I can't, I'm drinking some
water.
I knew it was coming.
No, I think he was preparing his voice, Laura.
That's exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad.
Opening, lubricating those vocal cords. Go ahead. Making them moist. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is the synopsis. The year is 2112, and the apocalypse is exactly as expected. Rivers receding, oceans rising, society crumbling. Humanity has given up hope, except for a group of indigenous survivors who have discovered a time travel portal and figured out where history took a sharp turn for the worse, America. Convinced that the only way to save the world is to rewrite the past, they send one of their own on a bloody one-way mission back to 1492 to kill Christopher Columbus before he reaches the so-called New World. But taking down an icon is no easy task, and the future will pay a staggering price if history backfires.
Thank you for reading that, Jason.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, do it in Italian, Portuguese, Lakota, so many languages for our main character, but we'll get into that. So what did we think? Laura, I want you to start. Pick it on you this time.
I liked it. I'm going to be honest. I am really terrible at remembering details from history. So I could not necessarily remember and pinpoint certain things that were important in the story. But I liked it overall. I liked the sci-fi, like, time travel aspect and the different characters. Obviously, the art is always a big thing with graphic novels. I thought it was done really well. I don't know that I understood certain things.
And so I am relieved to hear that. Continue.
Yeah. Like, in general, I understood what the general storyline was, what was happening, but there are just certain things that were really confusing, and I'm wondering if it'll be answered later if I were to continue reading. I'm not sure how many volumes are
in this. Remind me, have either one of you read this before?
No.
No.
Or this was new for all of us. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So I am hoping that there will be answers later. But I know, you know, with comic books, sometimes certain details don't always necessarily get communicated well. Also, I don't know that I would necessarily label this horror. I don't know. Like, when I hear horror, I expect a little bit more from it than what I actually got in this one.
That's fair. We'll talk about that, I think, more in the spoiler section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it.
Okay, Rico, what did you think?
I think I mostly agree with Laura, although I will say that I was kind of disappointed by the overall story that we got, because the story is about going back in time and killing Christopher Columbus. Mm-hmm. And we kind of get that, but the story isn't exactly that. It's really hard for me to exactly say without giving it spoilers. But
I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like what was promised wasn't quite delivered for me. And yes, it is an ongoing comic book, and perhaps we'll get more of it in the second and third volume. But that sometimes is also frustrating with comics, because you'll get this premise, and you don't get really to the meat of the premise until issue 7 or 8 or 9. And Laura, to answer your question, I know there's at least 3 volumes of this. I don't know if it's still ongoing, but there's at least 3 volumes. And they deal with different points of history, not just Columbus.
Oh.
And so I feel like they took this premise, stretched it into a larger narrative that didn't really quite fully address what was promised, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And so I feel like that can be really frustrating with comic books sometimes. Like, you kind of like overstay your welcome. I agree with you, Laura, that it's not very heavy on horror. I think it's labeled as horror because this author is known for writing horror. Mm-hmm. I've not read any of his novels, but he's written some other really popular horror novels. I think one is called like I Was a Teenage Slasher. And another one's called maybe Only Good Indians or something along those lines. I might be getting it wrong. But he's pretty prolific in terms of horror. So I think because of that, they're going to bank on that. Oh, he's a horror writer. This is a horror comic book. But it doesn't really get very horror. It is speculative. I don't know. I can't tell if it's sci-fi. The time travel mechanics aren't really identified. So maybe it's sci-fi. Maybe it's fantasy. We don't really know yet. I'm sure that'll be answered in Volume 2. So I think Volume 1 is just a lot of questions, a lot of setup, and then almost like no payoff, which can be really frustrating. But, you know, just speaking to it on its own merits, I guess, I was interested. There's a lot there. There's like Belle, you had mentioned, there's a lot of different genres in this book. There's a lot to sink your teeth into. And so I was invested. I wasn't fully satisfied, but I was invested. Yeah. I think I'll leave it there.
I think that's a pretty good way to describe it from my point of view also.
Okay. Bells, what about you?
So I think I agree with both of you. I think I'm a little bit less interested maybe than both of you, but I'm not a comic book person. I'm not a graphic novel person. So I don't think that's news to anybody, but I was really excited by the premise too. I was like, I want to see like their journey through time with Christopher Columbus. And like, I expected it to take longer in a lot of ways. Like this is a very long, arduous journey. So I was really interested in like how it played out. Very confused by the different plots going on. We will talk about that in the spoiler section. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just thought maybe it was me as a non-comic book reader. I had a lot of issues with the like different shapes and colors meaning different things and just like not really fully like catching on to that quickly enough, and lots of different plots. So then you get more colors and things happening and like images, like if you were watching a show, it would like cut to and it would be more clear like, oh, you're shifting to this point of view. But in this case, there was like almost like images like embedded, inlaid into like what's happening in the past versus what's happening in the future versus like what's in somebody's head. And that was hard for me to follow. I feel like if I'd had, I should have given myself more time since I'm not really a comic book reader. But at the same time, I was like, this is why I hate multiverse, time travel, science. This is why I hate it. I am not science. It was very confusing. They talk a lot about like changing the fabric of time. And if like the mission was successful, like why isn't their world different? And I just was like, my brain is hurting. I don't know. Wouldn't it take more time? But I guess time is happening all the time. So then maybe, yes, it would have been an immediate change. I don't know. I'm confused. So I know that a lot of that is just my preference and it's not for me. I just wish it'd been a little bit more simplified for me.
You're right. Time is happening all the time.
Time is happening all the time. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think we should get into the spoilers so I can complain more specifically to you guys.
Okay.
But I do think, like, overall, I did enjoy it. The art was beautiful. The plot was interesting. I just think I wanted more from it than I got and was not prepared for how much science there was really going to be. So with that, spoilers.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go? Who's like chomping at the bit to start? I think Rico.
Yeah. So this first volume is called Kill Columbus. And we don't kill Columbus until like the very end of issue 6. And that's what really was the hook for me, was seeing the way time is going to be changed if you kill Columbus. And so I wanted that to happen sooner so we can see, did they accomplish their mission? I mean, inevitably, probably not. Like, I knew it wasn't going to go the way they wanted, because then, like, all right, everything's done at the end. But I wanted to see the way time was going to change based on this. Was it going to be a situation where You can't change time. Time's gonna figure out a way to, you know, steer the ship the way it wants to go.
You're gonna hurt my brain again. I just got over the headache after reading it.
I just wanted it to happen sooner, and it happened at the very end, and we only got a hint of, well, you kind of changed time, but not really. ... to be continued.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm almost like frustrated that I have to keep reading to see what I wanted in the first volume.
Right. I think that we are into these time travel kind of stories where we like to see the concepts, the outcome of changing history. But I feel like this was not so much about actually changing the timeline. It was more about the journey. And so we were learning about what actually happened at, like, kind of the same way, like, his wife was learning. I'm not remembering everyone's names. She didn't know what actually happened until she found that history book and was reading it at the end. And so that's when we were also learning it. Mm-hmm. So it kind of felt like they were trying to have us go on the same journey as his wife, trying to figure out what happened to him.
Yeah. And I think that plot was too long. And I think
it felt muddled.
It got very complicated to where I lost the story. I could tell you generally what happened in the present day, what I think is the present day timeline. I got a little confused by other time traveling characters, other events that are occurring at the same time as their storyline. I get your point, and I actually, like, now I see that we were going on the same journey as his wife, figuring out what's going on with him in the past. So I'm like, okay, that now makes more sense why they did that. But I still think I was very lost.
I mean, should we break it down a little bit, both for our own understanding and also anybody who may have not read the comic book, who is still listening?
If you can break it down, Rico.
Yeah, let's see what we can do. So the premise starts, it's four indigenous people. They're all from different nations. We have Tad, who's Lakota. We have Sosha, who is, I'm going to mess up the name, Inupiaq, Emily, Seminole, and Yellow Kidney, who's Blackfeet. So the four of them decide, hey, what if they find this cave that if you walk into it, you're able to go back in time. And like, well, let's send one of our own back to kill Columbus, because the world has gone to shit because of America, and the America we know really started because of Columbus. So that's their logic. So they send Tad back in time. So his job is to kill Columbus. And we follow the other three in the comics' current time, which is 2112, of trying to figure out, well, was he successful? And so we follow Tad's storyline of trying to kill Columbus, which doesn't go smoothly. And then we follow And then we follow Sosha, his wife, trying to figure out if he was successful. There's Emily, and there's also Yellow Kidney. And then there's like this mystery about Yellow Kidney that we don't know, that we find out later, like he killed two kids for some reason. And these kids belong to a guy named Martin. And this is kind of where it got confusing for me, is because we met Martin when he's older, because he had already traveled in time to current time. And then we meet young Martin. Bella's nose is bleeding right now because she's trying to figure this out. It is a little confusing, but like at the end of the day, I don't really know what the hell happened. Like there's six issues, and ultimately what happened for each character? What was the story? Tad is trying to kill Columbus. Finally, he did at the end. So she's trying to figure out if time was changed. At the end, we finally find out, I guess it was, but we don't really see how.
We don't, yeah.
Emily, it's effects of the time of the history change.
Yeah. Emily decides to go back in time for some reason. I can't remember why. And then we have Yellow Kidney, who we find out murdered two kids.
But we don't know why.
And I think he's the one that knew about the cave. So there's some sort of bigger mystery about the cave and him having to kill the two kids to ensure this. I don't know. It was confusing.
And then Martin in current time with his current time family is looking for those kids. Those kids are his children. And so when they show up to Emily, they find Emily. They think Emily did something to the kids. She lies to them, or he is. I don't know.
Okay, I wanted to get to that because I don't think it was mentioned in the book, but Emily
I'm pretty sure Emily is
trans or two-spirit.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. They don't really.
Yeah, that's not. It's not specified. I don't like how that was introduced. Like, it's great that it was transnormative, I guess, but
we don't know what Emily's pronouns are. Say it that way. I'm just going to use they. Yeah. So for whatever reason, you know, Emily is trying to save their life. They don't know what's about to happen when Martin and his family shows up. And so they lie and say your kids are at the back of the cave, and sends this whole family into the cave. And so now we don't know what happened to them. So now we also don't know why Emily is time traveling either.
Yeah, there's no real resolution to this volume.
The only ending we get is Tad and his journey to kill Columbus.
Yes, he did kill Columbus, but then was in turn killed by Columbus's crew. And now the Americas are set up in memory of Columbus.
Yes.
And like in honor of him. So
it shows that the crew still ends up slaughtering all the indigenous people there, because they still made it to the beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the beginning of the graphic novel, there's a note by the author. I don't know if you read it.
I did,
yeah.
But it talks about the origins. And in there, the author does say that the original title for this book was Age of Discovery, which fit for a 1492 story. But then that the publisher was going to let them hit other time periods. So they had to like change the title. And so that like kind of frustrates me, because I feel like the original story was this. Just tell this story. And I think it would have been really good. But because it's like, oh, well, I could hit other time periods, I'm going to stretch out the mystery and stretch out, you know, the storyline, which, I mean, maybe it'll be good. I mean, I think I'm going to continue the series because I'm curious enough, and comic books go so freaking quickly. Like, I'll read the next six issues in like 2 hours or whatever. So I'll continue reading, but I'm like frustrated I have to.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I would have liked a little bit more closure at the end of this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Yeah, because I guess I kind of didn't understand that we were going to start to hit different time periods. Like, I read that letter and I was like, wait, what? Different time periods. This is about Columbus. The story is about Columbus. So I like chose not to listen, basically, which is fine. That's on me. So I think that's what felt like. I was like, okay, I'm ready for this to be longer. And then for that to be the payout was very dissatisfying. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you're going to take 18 issues, possibly, maybe more, to kill Columbus, like, this felt so rushed to me in six issues. All the different storylines, time periods, complications that we're talking about, it was too much for six issues, in my opinion. Like, I feel like I'd need to read this, like, three more times to, like, and I stopped and reread sections and was like, wait, what did I miss? I'm so confused because, yeah, everything you said about Martin and the twins and Emily, I was like, did we get pronouns? Oh. Like, what is happening?
And the kid from Columbus,
the ship and the goat,
the ship and the kid is now in the current timeline.
Correct.
And the goat.
The goat was really confusing. I didn't know
what was happening. The goat that turns into a person that might have been the...
It's the guy
that he first killed at the beginning. Yeah.
I thought he was hallucinating, but apparently the goat was really there.
The goat was really there. Whether or not the goat or not was talking may have been an hallucination, but the goat was there.
Yeah.
I like being confused in mysteries, but there's a way to do it that's successful. Yes. And I don't think... this did it nicely.
There were too many breadcrumbs to where it was like, I don't even know where the trail is anymore.
Yeah, I feel like the current time with the characters and their diverging kind of experiences, those were the breadcrumbs to the next issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main story of this was... it feels like was originally, like you said, supposed to be about Tad and trying to kill Columbus.
Yeah.
But then try to, like you described, stretching it out. It's putting all of this extra stuff in here that we didn't necessarily need yet. But I did enjoy Tad's story, though it did take a long time to actually succeed. It was interesting, his like inner dialogue, the things that he was constantly thinking about, fighting over with himself. You know, like, he's feeling really guilty about how he's affecting these people, but at the same time, he's like, these people are already dead. It doesn't matter. I just need to fulfill my mission. And he's constantly having this inner battle with himself. And so it was really interesting what he had to do by the end to actually be able to kill Columbus.
Yeah, it's an interesting moral dilemma, like, from his point of view. Because, like you said, from his point of view, all these people are already dead.
Yeah.
They're all from the past. So to see him, like, struggle with that was interesting. And I did find myself asking, like, if I went back in time and I need to kill them to accomplish my mission, could I, knowing that the future I come from, they're already dead. This is like almost like just like a ghost of a person. But them being right in front of me, can I actually kill them? It's...
I lost more brain cells. I don't know. It's a great thought experiment, Rico.
Oh, poor Bella.
I wanted it to be, I love history, and I actually read, how much of Columbus's journals did I have to read? I did read them for school. So I was looking for more of that. I was looking for, I did enjoy like the excerpts of the diary journal, whatever, in this novel and how that evolved. And that's kind of how they were tracking what happened. So this, that thought experiment to me, super interesting. It just got convoluted by all the science and then like the lack of focus on the story. Like we had a lot of time with the characters in the present day and what was happening there that I think distracted from Tad's story, because it almost felt secondary. Like it was touted as the main premise, but it kind of got like relegated to a side character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Which is disappointing, because that's why I wanted to read this. Like, I wanted to see more, like, Tad and Columbus interact. Like, I almost wanted... It's like, I don't know. I just wanted something more extreme, and I wanted there to be more built up there, and it was kind of lackluster. It was pretty flat to me. It just felt like, yeah, he was fumbling around, blah, 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 and then he, like, finally kind of went crazy and then killed Columbus.
Honestly, him staying alive as long as he did was kind of the most unbelievable part of this story.
Yes.
There was no way in hell he would from the jump, they thought he was a saboteur.
Yeah.
And why would you keep someone alive when you find real sabotage? Well, and then you have this guy who was speaking languages he shouldn't be speaking. Like, there's more to this guy than should be there. Just throw him overboard.
Right. And I also think, like, I was like, you stick out like a sore thumb between your hair color, your skin color, your facial features. Like, you don't look like a Spaniard. You don't look like an English, but like, you don't look like anybody that they would have seen yet.
Right.
So that also, to me, like, the suspension of disbelief there was really hard to believe. Like, I would have expected more, especially like for 2112 for that year, if we're assuming that it's had the continuation of like our society, like the features would have been more like ethnically ambiguous. You know what I mean? Like all the races and ethnic groups are mixing and like everyone's going to look so different. Like maybe Tad would have a different look. So that also to me was hard.
I think we're being pretty negative overall, and I do want to like really call out that there's a lot of good, I think, in the story. I did really enjoy that the main cast of characters are all indigenous and of different nations. And I like the idea of them all getting together and kind of like, let's go back and kill Columbus, right? It's like that question of, if you could go back in time and kill Hitler, would you? Like, well, what would that change? It's a fun thought experiment. And so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed going down this path. I enjoyed getting to know these characters and looking at them through the lens of indigenous people and how that relationship to history is different than what I experience and, you know, most of like white Western civilization experience. And so that was really interesting. And so I do want to continue this series. I just wish the main story that we signed up for was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely things that I wanted more out of this story and this graphic novel. I'd be curious to know if you continue reading, Rico, like what happens and if you like how they weave together history. I am interested in the mysteries that kind of are unfolding in the present in terms of like how did the kid get there and from the kid from the past, from the ship, who this goat man slash sailor who was haunting Tad was. I think that could be some kind of weird manifestation of time, a hallucination, but I don't know. If they start popping up in the present, that's different. I don't know. I have lots of thoughts and questions. I'd like to know if they pay off. I'm not that into it to continue, but
I'm going to continue.
No one's surprised.
But it says volume 3 is not out until December.
Are the issues available?
Like the issues are probably
the
all
issues, yeah. Yeah. But the volume itself is not available yet.
Yeah. Well, you guys will have to let me know what you think.
Will do. One thing that was in the narrative that kept popping up, I was curious about. I was very curious about this idea of Earth divers. And again, in that opening origin letter that the author wrote, he mentions the idea of Earth divers as a term that he pulled and I knew nothing of. And throughout the story, we see references to like an otter or a muskrat or a duck or a beaver. I'm like, what the hell is this? What is this? So I pulled up some information. I just wanted to share with people listening who didn't know it, like myself, Earth Divers, among the term Earth Divers among indigenous peoples of Americas, comes from like almost like a creation myth where certain animals, hence like the beaver, the otter, the duck, and the muskrat, dive into the waters to fetch mud to bring it back to the surface and create land. And so that's the mythology. And I did really enjoy that. I do enjoy when there's mythology at work.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I understand it or not, it's always really fun to learn about another culture's mythology and their belief systems. And so I did appreciate that that was like sprinkled throughout the narrative. I think it made it a little more confusing sometimes. It added to the confusion. I didn't quite know if these animals were literal or hallucination or what that was happening. But I did want to at least like acknowledge that that is coming from actual indigenous mythology.
Very cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the Goodreads rating. This is 3.65 stars on Goodreads out of 987 ratings. Pretty good, decent amount. What would you guys rate the book? Rico, I know you have a system.
I don't have a system for regular books. I only have a system for After Dark books.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shock.
I don't know what I would rate this. My gut instinct feels wrong. Like, my gut instinct is like a 2.5.
Okay.
But that feels wrong. 3 feels better to me for some reason. Because I didn't, like, totally hate it. I didn't, like, I just thought it was a little confusing. And I wanted more from it. So that kind of puts it middle of the road for me. So, like, 3 feels right. But I don't know. I can honestly see.
Yeah. Would be 2.
I can honestly see my rating changing after I read the second volume.
Yeah.
Like, I think that'll dictate ultimately how I feel about this first volume. So.
Fair. I'm also a 3.
Yeah.
But I think that's because, like, 4. 4 is like a solid, I enjoyed it book. 3 yeah. is like, there were issues. I don't think they were bad enough to knock it down to a 2. Like, to me, that's like a C average, right? It's an average work that I read. I don't think there was anything like really, truly bad about it objectively. So that's why I'm like, a 3. Yeah. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, I think 3 is also my... Yeah, 3 feels good to me because it wasn't great, but like it also wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. I still enjoyed it. I came out of it with a lot of questions that may or may not really be that important. But like you said, Jason, reading the next one will probably dictate what I really feel about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to rate a book or a volume individually if you don't know the whole story yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is tricky with graphic novels. I feel like I'm like, so far a 3. That could totally change. Like based on what you guys actually read.
But I do like if there's anyone who's like super into history, you know, I feel like maybe this would be interesting to them in terms of like how
I really
Tad,
like history.
Like how Tad changes things. I don't know.
But we don't see that yet. That's the thing. Like we don't see
No, I mean like
any...
like changes like in his in that timeline. It makes a lot of references to like, well, this happened and so I know this is going to happen. And so like if anyone knows these tales or whatever, they might be able to identify, Tad just changed XYZ by doing this.
So
I don't know.
I personally, for me, no. Cause I, like I said, I've read the journals and I'm not like a Christopher Columbus expert by no means at all. But the fact that they kept saying like in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, like that was like the only history they kept continuously bringing up, like I don't think this is really for a history buff.
No,
I think it's more for someone with like a casual interest in history. I actually think it was more sci-fi. I think this would be more for someone who's like into time travel with like mentions of history. Like I expected it to be more like, what is that kids TV show, Liberty Liberty Kids. Is that what it was called? Liberty's Kids. It was a PBS show, and it was about these kids like experiencing the American Revolution. And so like you're watching a very fictionalized, very dramatized account for kids of history. But there's so many key moments that if that's all you had ever seen of American history, you would be able to follow along. Like you would know a lot of American history. This didn't do anything for me. I was like, I could tell you these things about the Christopher Columbus journey, and I am by no means an expert. So I kind of wanted a little bit more of that, like a few more details about like what was actually happening, because those journals are very detailed. And I don't know, I kind of wanted like a little bit more meat to it. It felt very one-dimensional. And I don't think that's a criticism of the novel. It's a graphic novel. Like I wouldn't expect that normally. I just feel like it was like touted as this historical fiction. I was like, it's very light on the history for my taste.
Okay.
It's very light.
Okay.
I would definitely recommend it more to someone who likes sci-fi and enjoys history on occasion. Like maybe Rico. Like I would say you would have been my target demo. Someone who's like, I like history. It's not my go-to, but I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas history is my go-to. And I was like, this was too light. Mm. Not enough. Not enough for me. I want to feel like I'm there. I didn't feel like I was there. All right, so what are we reading next? Other than the next few volumes. Or issues, volumes, whatever. I don't know. Graphic novel talk. Rico, what are you reading next?
I just started today What Feasts at Night by T. Kingfisher. It's a gothic novella and the sequel to What Moves the Dead, which it itself is a retelling of Edgar Allan Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher. What Moves the Dead I read, I think, last year for A Seat at the Table's Sci-Fi Fantasy Book Club, and I did enjoy it. I'm a big Poe fan, and it was a pretty good retelling of that. This is now a sequel, and it deals with the Moroi, which are vampires slash ghosts from Romanian folklore, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I just started it today. Maybe, I don't know, novella's like 20% of the way in. But I'm enjoying it so far. It's fun. Gothic, good gothic vibes. Perfect for this time of year.
Ooh, I kind of want to read that.
Has a good non-binary protagonist who is I think what they call a sworn soldier, which is some sort of soldier from this fictional country that they're from. But yeah, it's good. It's a fun time.
Ooh, okay. Wow. You're really peaking. I'm after these next few books, I really want to get into some more classic novels and archetypes like gothic literature. I don't think I've explored that enough. Like I have Phantom of the Opera like ready to go. I'm like, I love the movie. Good. I've never read the book. So yeah. Okay. Laura, what are you reading next?
I have a couple of things I'm going to get to next. My next audiobook is going to be The Marrow Thieves, following along with the Indigenous Peoples Day kind of celebration. It's been on my list forever. I've had the book on my TBR shelf forever, and so I figured now is the time to, it would be a great time to actually prioritize it. I think Jason, you told me about this book at some point.
It sounds familiar. I think way back in the day when we were first starting the podcast, we were trying to come up with some titles by Indigenous authors. And I think this is one of the ones that we put on the list that just we didn't get to.
But. Yeah. So I'm excited to get to that. It says it's only a 10-hour audiobook, so I'm probably going to blow through that pretty quick. And then thank you to Tor.com for sending us an arc of Haunt Sweet Home. It's a little novella, so I'll probably get through it pretty quick. It sounds totally me. It's basically like about a reality TV show production, but there's a haunting happening on set. So if anybody knows me, I used to work on short film sets locally, and so the production aspect is totally my kind of scene. So I was pretty excited when I read the synopsis for this.
You'll have to report back.
Yeah, it falls in with the spooky October vibes.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all know Rico has a schedule for that, so.
I do.
Rico, does it pass your test for spooky October vibes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Good job, Laura. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
He has very high standards. Yeah, so I still have on my TBR The Undead Complex by Courtney Smith. They, them, because before I got I requested it on NetGalley and was like, oh, hopefully they give it to me. I started Sunbearer Trials because it was readily available at the library. And so now I'm trying to finish that. And then I will go back to The Undead Complex, which is the sequel to our previous episode, The Undetectables. And then Laura has insisted I get to Project Hail Mary, and I am determined to finish it before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that will happen. Putting it out there, I'm determined to get it off my TBR. So that's on my list to read after I finish the Celestial Monsters.
I think you're going to love it.
I really let the wind take me on these reading journeys. So...
highly recommend the audio
right now. Yes. And I do remember that. I think I was going to read this actually at one point after I finished the Percy Jackson books. And then I was like, no, I need a palate cleanser. And then it, like a really light palate cleanser, like totally different. And I was like, Project Hail Mary seems a little too heavy. I need something in between. And then I just never went back to it. So I'm like, I got to finish it. I was going to do it earlier this year, but now I'm going to finish it by the end of the year.
Okay.
So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you guys both for reading this graphic novel, going on this journey with me and joining the episode. But listeners, let us know your thoughts on social media if you've read it or are curious or you just want to bash Columbus. We're here for you. You can find us on social media at Shit We've Read. Join our Discord server. Join discussion there. I'm sure once the episode is out, we will be happy to chat thoughts with you all. And then our next episode will be Monsters Manor by Lee Miller. This is our Halloween After Dark special. I believe Emma Skies kind of bullied us into doing something, if I'm not mistaken. classic Emma was like, more smut? Why no smut? It's Halloween. We are monster fuckers over here. So give us a monster fucking book.
She had a point.
Fucking monster book. This will be a male female why choose romance where the two love interests are also in a relationship with each other. So very interesting. I think we're on a reverse harem kick. No complaints from me and Laura for sure. I think Emma was also into it. Rico just wants tentacles.
Want tentacles. What I specifically wanted for this time around was a headless horseman.
Oh, I'm so sorry. He's absolutely right. I'd like to issue a correction.
Thank you.
Rico did do all the research on all of our book options, except for this one, I think was Emma's suggestion, or was this yours?
No, I put it on the list.
Okay. Rico put it on. It was the only one Emma Skies wanted to read. So we said, okay, fine, we'll do that one. And Rico did all the research. It must have been really difficult for him, quite the sacrifice, because there were like 10 Headless Horseman books on there. And
there was only two.
Out of like 14. No, there had to have at least been four.
There was, I think, three tops. I think there was only four.
Okay. I'd like you to double check that while I talk about this. Well, anyways, it felt like there were all of them were Headless Horseman ones. And I said, tell me he has a type without telling me he has a type. I think he really wants us to read a Headless Horseman book. And I think Laura and I voted for one. He also said he pulled his punches. So next time, I think you need to give us
the best of the worst.
I think
I saved you from so many worse options.
Listen, I want this to be a safe space for you, Rico. I want you to let your freak flag fly so I can make fun of you on our podcast.
Because you will anyway, so I might as well.
You might as well make it accurate.
I'm doing the time, may as well do the crime.
Exactly. See, you got it. It only took like 3 years. But yeah, so we're excited. Rico did not get what he wants, but he did pick this book. So I think he will be happy. Regardless, it's monsters. It's Halloween. It's smut. What more could you want? So yeah, join us for our Halloween episode. And on that note, good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
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 Shit We've Read is hosted by Laura Benson, Jason Rico, and Bella Romero, with music by Joshua Chilton and editing by Jason Rico.
To join the discussion on this and all other books we've read, find us at Shit We've Read on Instagram and TikTok.
For more information about us or to request transcripts, please visit shitwevered.com.
Thanks so much for listening.